objectives of my talk today are to share strategies, methods, and tools for implementing the community screening program in California's county juvenile justice detention facilities, and also to provide data on screening and treatment outcomes. A little bit of background. In California, we've done three different things to look at where we could get our best bang for the buck. One thing that we did was we initiated the Get Tested program. This has been published before, so some of you may be familiar with it. It's a community-based screening program where counties went out and screened in parks, colleges, a variety of venues, and also juvenile halls. Many of them in screening the juvenile halls found incredibly high prevalence there, which helped us understand that's where we need to be. We also did a survey of juvenile justice administrators throughout the state of California, and we wanted to assess the screening and treatment practices there. And what we found was that there was incredibly low screening coverage in those that were screening, and of those that were screening and reported data, we found that there was very few of them that were really screening at booking. We have a variety of places that we can look at prevalence. This is our prevalence monitoring program, and you can see that we've got managed care, family planning, college size, and whatnot. And the largest prevalence comes from, of course, our SDU clinics, with the next largest from the data that we're capturing now from the juvenile detention facilities. In California, we have 59 halls in 51 counties, which in 2006 had a little over 100,000 bookings. 18% of those are female. And we're very fortunate because we have the structure in California to set policies and procedures and have overarching responsibility for care. And this is the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation's Correction Standard Authority. We have something called Title 15 that requires that you do an intake upon entering the facility. It can be a minor exam just to see whether or not there's any chronic or critical health condition at that time. It needs to be 10 weeks old. And then there's a subsequent medical or physical exam that's supposed to be accomplished within 96 hours of admittance. So what did we do? Well, we decided that there was clearly a proven need for our statewide community screening treatment program, and our best bang for the buck was going to be going to juvenile halls. We identified some of our funding, both state and federal, and we identified a state manager, which was me. We designed the project and called it a community screening culture class. Isn't that cute? So basically what we wanted to do was to enhance or establish partnerships with juvenile justice partners between those and the health departments, and to screen as many young females as possible. We developed contractual scope of work where we delineated activities such as screening as many young women as possible, screening as close to booking as possible, ensure quick turnaround of testing, ensure rapid and appropriate treatment, and to ensure that those that were testing positive and released before results were known were then followed up down and treated. We developed standardized data elements. We have a data dictionary that we sent out, and that goes, most people do it and some people don't. It's always fun to merge data, but anyway. And we also had a bunch of reports. We had quarterly communication reports that shared best practices and gave data regarding numerators and denominators of proportional screening, males and females. We also had annual reports. So we developed this whole proposal and sent it on out to our local SDU controllers. Those are the folks that run the programs in all counties in California. The qualifying criteria was that there had to be a population of 250,000 13 and 19 year old females in the county. They had to have a juvenile justice population of bookies of about 50 per year. And the reason for that was because we were really trying to determine what the feasibility might be for implementing community screening in small, medium, or large facilities. We didn't just want to look at the big ones. And this particular proposal or application was only allowable for those in the California project area, which actually excludes San Francisco and Los Angeles, because our funding streams from the federal government are separate. So we ended up funding 18 counties and 24 facilities across the state. They received $20,000 to $60,000 a year, not a lot of money. And they actually spend, most of the folks spend those monies on testing costs, but some of them use them for personnel and absorb testing through their own county budgets. We requested that they do county coordinators. Each one of the counties has county coordinators, and there's 3 stars by that because about those coordinators, and there's two of them sitting in this room right now, that this project would not have happened. The diligence and integrity and ingenuity of these folks is incredible. All the persons that are being tested in the juvenile house are tested by urine and the neck. And the medical services and hours that are provided are varied across all these ranges. This shows the geographic distribution across the state, so you can see they're all over. So what about our results? Well, for 2006, we actually had, we represented the class which I was participating, represented 13% of the total bookings for 2006. That's pretty amazing. Some screening treatment outcomes for you. Let me orient you to this slide. Slide shows pre and post implementation results. The gray bar reflects the proportion tested and when counties responding to and reporting data in the 1998 survey, who subsequently participated in TAS. This is a subset of all class counties, so it is not directly comparable to the rest of the graph, but it does reflect the level of testing occurring in juvenile facilities prior to the implementation of TAS. The purple columns are proportion screened, the red line is the percent positive, and the number in purple are the number of tests conducted. The proportion positive has decreased over time, and this may reflect the fact that increased testing is reaching more infected girls as well as finding more cases. However, it's also possible that this might actually be reflecting the true decrease in trend. Some of the results from 2006 were 76% of those booked were tested within one day. You know, the first slide talked about how many they had, it's very few, so that was a significant increase. 89% of those positive tested were treated. 79% of them were treated within 14 days. And 93% of them were treated while they were incarcerated. So what were some of our programmatic barriers that we encountered? There was a variety of competing priorities. There were basically three main areas. There were procedural and resource limitations and other competing priorities. The coordinators are either health department or probation staff who already have full-time jobs and are multitasking, excluding this particular program. Placing the implementation of this program in competition with other equally important health department projects made for a very long first year of some of the projects. This was further complicated by competing priorities of the daily operations and other programs that the custody staff had, as well as the numerous competing priorities and other medical crises, programs and basic operations of the facility. As mentioned before, Title 15 required a full medical assessment by 96 hours. However, we know that around 50% of these young folks are released the booked youth are released within 48 hours, which makes the screening always really an important part of the program. With all the health concerns that a lot of these children have, getting the intake done at somebody's screening and done an intake was certainly a big barrier and a huge hurdle for many of them. And finally, there continue to be staff changes of coordinators at the health departments, probation, changes in medical staff shortages, cutbacks, and movement towards private contracting for service. All of these made implementation of this program difficult. Some of the continuing challenges that we have are that there's an extremely high turnover of staff. There's competing medical and custody priorities. There's laboratory and test cost fluctuations, which is as the dollars count, even makes it more difficult to engineer kids. And of course, privatization of medical services. Some of the facilitators that we had are at the county level was the fact that we did have Title 15 and we did have a standardized ability to increase screen at intake. The coordinators implemented the rigid interpretation of that and adjusted protocols. But you can see that really the key thing here was to establish coordinators and to make sure that they built a team at the local level. They also were very innovative in their approaches and came up with many different ways to handle problems, such as screening as a standard of care, using testing staff to collect specimens, prioritizing females for exams, using bookmark systems to monitor those who have not been screened, and revising language in the medical care contracts. Some of the things happened at the state level. We had meetings. We had an opportunity to share our data, discuss emerging issues, share best practices. Consensus benchmarking was one of our discussions to see what would be a good standard. And they actually all agreed, the small meeting in the lab said, that we could maybe screen around 7%. Performance-based contracting was also another big issue for. So in conclusion, I'd like to say that high levels of community screening and treatment in juvenile detention are possible if you build a team at the local level, ensure platforms for sharing best practices and innovative ideas, and provide structure and accountability. Recommendations, to maintain funds to support testing and treatment, prioritize, develop, and or maintain partnerships at the federal and state levels across juvenile justice and public health disciplines, and continue to communicate with each other. better by sharing best practices and successful outcomes, which we did the workshop on Tuesday. Prof. Bosa from Santa Barbara County shared his contact monitoring system for outsourced care, and Sharon Jukes shared hers for making standard of care. I'd like to acknowledge all of our partners. And Cheryl just stood up, so I'm done.